Welcome to Sisterhood, having conversations that matter with me, Lorianne Sheldrick, an incredible woman who support, encourage, and empower other women. While you are here, you will be supported. You will empower yourself so that you can be supportive to others and begin to fully embrace that we cannot be empowered women if we do not support those who are being disempowered. That is the magic that lies within sisterhood, and it only works if we do it together. The purpose of sisterhood is to create deep and meaningful connections with other women, have conversations that matter, because women need other women, and together we are going to be, do, and have all that we desire. It starts right here, right now, with me, my special guest, and with you. Let's begin. Welcome to the magic of sisterhood. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Sisterhood Podcast. I am so excited to share today's incredible conversation and even more incredible human being with you today. Her name is Jen Jones. We are hopefully brand new friends, and I wanted to talk to Jen on the podcast because she wrote this incredible book called Intropreneur, and she's also the founder of Connect and Elevate. And this is what we're doing here on the Sisterhood Podcast. We are connecting with one another. And also, I just absolutely love to speak with authors, because when someone writes a book, especially a book called Intropreneur, it's like a deep insight into who they are as a human being and how they have chosen to serve. And I just think that is so incredible that she has taken all of her own knowledge, all of her own wisdom, and she's turned it into a book for all of us to read and learn from. And I just find that so incredible. We're not talking about her book today, even though I highly encourage you to go get the book. And I'm going to put the links on how to connect with Jen all in the show notes for you. But today we're talking about energy. We're talking about energy, not from a spiritual standpoint, but or universal standpoint. We're talking about the energy within ourselves. And one of the reasons we wanted to talk about this was because we've noticed in our own lives and in the lives of our clients that we have found ourselves and others push themselves so much to do things that we and they don't actually have the energy for, that we don't have the mental, emotional, or physical bandwidth for, but we push ourselves anyway. And we talk about energy and how we can take an energy audit on ourselves so that we can not fall into the trap of someone else's expectations, where we can remember that it's okay for us to change our minds, that even though we said something, said yes to something last week, it's okay if we say no this week. We talk about doing things we don't want to do, even if it doesn't meet someone else's expectations, and how to work through that and the guilt of that, ensuring that, you know, everyone sort of wins in that situation. And we talk about all the things that we do and think that drain our energy, being a high achiever, saying yes to things we want to say no to, doing things that don't align with us, working in jobs that don't align with us, being in relationships with people that don't align with us, not setting boundaries. But one of the things that we talk about is how hard it is to set boundaries, not just with ourselves, but with the people in our lives, especially with the people that we just love so much. And we talk about how hard that is and why, even though it can feel like such a challenge and it brings up so much guilt, why it's also so important that we have these conversations with the people that we love in our lives about what our boundaries are, and how our boundaries aren't concrete. Like, our boundary today may not be our boundary tomorrow, which is why we need to be having these conversations. So I love this conversation. Jen is incredible. She's like just such a kind human being. And I'll just say, in this conversation, we were talking about our own lives and our own experiences, and, you know, we don't have all the answers. And that's something that I love about having these conversations. It's not a, here are three things you can do. It's, here's what we're doing to overcome these battles that we have in our minds sometimes and these challenges that we have in our lives. And in this conversation, as we neared towards the end, Jen shared that she had a breakthrough on something that she was working through while we were talking. This is why we have meaningful conversations. This is why we share what we're experiencing. This is why we talk to each other about our struggles and our challenges and things that we're not sure about and questions we may have and things that we're doing that are working for us. Like, all of it. This is why we have the meaningful conversations. Literally, during a podcast conversation, she had a breakthrough that is going to help her make a decision that she has been struggling making a decision on. So I hope you love this conversation and Jen as much as I do, as much as I did. And if you did love this conversation, please, oh my goodness, if you would share it, if you would review it, it helps so much. Every single review, every single share helps so much. It's unfortunate that we need these things for an algorithm, but the algorithm is there, and we are trying to reach as many people with these conversations as we can. So if you loved it, please share it. If you didn't, that's okay too. That's all right. Not every conversation is going to be something that resonates with you, and that is okay. So I'm wishing you the best day wherever you are in the world. And as always, we always want to end with this reminder before we get into our conversations. Please remember this. You are good enough. You have always been good enough, and you will always be good enough. Enjoy this chat, and I will see you back here next time. Bye. Well, Jen, welcome to Sisterhood. I'm so happy that you're here. Honestly, I think the conversation we're going to have today is so timely, just based on the past couple of years and everything that we have experienced the past couple of years. I don't think there's anyone who hasn't been affected by something the past 2 years. And, you know, just so much is being brought to the surface. And that's why I wanted to have these conversations and why I started Sisterhood, because we need to be having more meaningful conversations, because the way we're currently doing things is just not working for so many people. We're burnt out. We're tired. We're depleted of energy. So I would love to know, because you're the owner of Connect and Elevate, you're the author of Intrapreneur. I would imagine that energy comes into every single conversation that you have and every single piece of content that you write.
You know, it always seems to, and I gravitate to it. And every time I want to talk, like, I'm like, oh, I talk about energy all the time. But I have learned over the last, I don't know, few months, is that energy changes. And so what brings you energy now may not bring you, or brought you energy before, may not bring you energy now. And I'm also finding with myself, I've done some digging deeper with human design and, you know, just looking at the energy and going, wow, like, I think I was burnt out and I'm afraid to step forward from where I am. So there's so much growth that can happen when we sort of step out of that, I don't want to say the comfort, right? The cocoon of what I've known over the last year has been, you know, just trying to get my bearings. It felt like a burnout. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every now and then I get these blocks. And so this is just coming to fruition over the last probably 2 weeks. And every time I talk about it, I'm hearing an echo back, like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Wait a minute. I'm thinking that I might be there too. So just trying to be open to what I'm going through has really helped me hear other people and what their experiences are.
Absolutely. And it makes so much sense. You know, when we've experienced one burnout, we never want to go back to that feeling again. which is a good thing. But the flip side of that is we never leave our comfort zone. Like, I know for me, when I left the general contracting industry that I was in for a decade, I was so burnt out when I left. And when I started my coaching practice, I was so afraid to go, to fall back into those old patterns and to feel that way again, that I was actually afraid of becoming, you know, quote unquote, successful, because I had this mindset that the only way to be successful was to hustle and to burn out. And then you're successful, and then you can take that little success and then take a little break. And which I'm sure so many people have that same mindset. So when it comes to energy, what's the most important thing that you have realized that we need to be paying attention to?
So I think I had, when I first started talking about energy, I was talking about like identifying what can you do to build up your energy, and then make a list of the things that deplete your energy. And, you know, it was very surface based, where it was like, okay, well, when I do this thing, you know, it's draining, or when I'm with this person, it's draining. And, you know, I've dug deeper into some of the thoughts that we have that drains our battery. And that's, you know, usually, you know, the two people sitting on your shoulders, or your negative self-talk that happens. So when we talk about energy, I want to dig into what else is going on. Yes, we can go, and I'm not poo-pooing massages. I like massages. The only reason why I got a Planet Fitness membership is because they have hydro massage chairs.
There you go. I love it.
Right? But that also gives me energy, right? Going there, I do actually work out. It feels good to get back into. I worked out at home, and now I'm there. And that's like that we talk about as self-care. But it really is on a deeper level. It's so rejuvenating to our bodies, or for me, this might be different for somebody else, is, you know, really paying attention to what brings us energy, what depletes our energy. And sometimes it could be relationships. Sometimes it could be other people. Sometimes it could be ourselves, which I don't really dig too much into in the book. But the more I talk to people, it's like, sometimes it's me that drains my own energy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, huh, what we think about can be very draining, especially if it's taxing or if it's just negative. And sometimes we go down that road where, you know, it just happens to be a lot of negativity. We got to remember to bring ourselves back. So I don't remember exactly what your question was. I think the bottom line is knowing what depletes your energy and what rejuvenates it on a very deep level, not necessarily just surface stuff, which is great to start, but then go deeper and dig into some of that stuff that's uncomfortable.
I think that's so important. It actually makes me think of in human design, our personality in human design and who we are in human design, but also our personality traits in Myers-Briggs as well, introvert versus extrovert. It makes me think of how often we are showing up in the world the way society wants us to show up in the world, how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to think, what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. Like that, to me, all of that, those expectations, that makes me feel drained. Like all the things I have to do that quote unquote have to do from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed to fit into this box is so draining mentally, physically, emotionally. And like, I think so often we think of energy as our physical energy, but it is all of it, isn't it? Like just not having the mental bandwidth, the emotional bandwidth, feeling too much or not feeling at all.
Yeah, we could talk a lot about stuff. That's
well, that's why I wanted to have this conversation, because like we can go down so many rabbit holes. What do you see? Why are we not doing what we want? Like, we know our energy is depleted. We can feel it mentally, emotionally, physically. Like, we feel it. I can sit here right now and talk to 100 women, both of us. We know if we're depleted or energized. Most of us are depleted. Why are we not doing what we want to do? Why are we not doing the things that we know will help us on an energetic level?
Mm-hmm. Well, one is priorities. And two is you hit the nail on the head with expectations. And sometimes that's not just societal expectations, but sometimes we have expectations of ourselves that aren't even aligned with who we really are. Mm-hmm. So I think investigating further, I had a whole conversation about this a couple of weeks ago where it was, well, what are your expectations of yourself? And yes, we have goals and that's great. But when you dig deeper, what are those expectations? And, you know, are you, you know, like for me, I'm like, I'm going to do one in-person networking a month. And this month has come and gone. And I'm like, well, I just didn't have the energy. Being able to say no at the last minute if something doesn't feel good anymore. Because there are times when I am so gung-ho about doing something, and then the time comes and the energy just isn't there. And I've pushed myself, I'm sure we all have, mm-hmm. pushed ourselves just to go do it, whether it was a networking, a family barbecue, going to, you know, do something that just didn't align anymore with our energy. And we did it anyway. And that could go for almost anything.
Anything. Absolutely. Like, we do it all the time, right? We do it to ourselves. We do it in our personal relationships and our professional relationships with acquaintances. Like, we just, we're constantly doing these things that we could have said no to temporarily. But I think we think like a no is so concrete where it's just a, it's not a no, it's not right now. Right. It's like, yes, I want to do that.
Like, maybe it was a yes at the time. Mm-hmm. And now it's, you know, maybe it's a no, not yet, depending on what it is. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm even thinking like my children and, you know, and things like that. It's, I know for myself, and I won't speak for anyone else, but it's the big, you make a commitment, you need to follow through. Yeah. And I think that is like such a neural pathway in my brain that if you go back on your word, then, you know, what are people going to, so it's judgment, right? What are people going to think, you know, and you're thinking about other people instead of thinking of yourself mm-hmm. when you go back on those commitments. But if you're doing it for the right reason, then you really have to work through some of that stuff because, and I say stuff, but you know what I want to say.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a lot that we're carrying around.
Absolutely. It is. Like, I can think of a few, like so many times that I've said yes when I've wanted to say no, and how guilty I have felt when I've said no. But it's just, and I think it's really wonderful that we're starting to have these conversations, but it really takes that like conscious effort to do it even through the guilt, right? Like, because even just that is like depleting my energy thinking about I've changed my mind. So it really is setting up those, it's setting up those healthy boundaries with ourselves and with other people in our lives. I know I used to have a regular girls' night where every once a week we would get together and I had to communicate with them to say that I might not be able to come every single week. My yes is a yes right now, but on that day, if I've had a really tough day, if I've had like, you know, difficult conversations with clients, or I didn't sleep well the night before, I need to be able to bow out gracefully without feeling guilty or, you know, shamed for it. And it was uncomfortable having that initial conversation, but everyone took advantage of that too and said, oh my God, yes, me too. Because as an extrovert and as a generator in human design, I say yes to everything. Everything excites me at first. And then the time comes and it's like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. But it also prevents me from sometimes making long-term plans because I'm so concerned that, well, what if I change my mind? So what do we do in those moments? Because it's true, like we have to push ourselves out of our comfort zones while also protecting our energy. So is it just being okay with that we might change our minds later?
Well, you really just displayed something amazing, which was communication. Mm-hmm. So communicating with those people that, you know, depending on what the situation is, it's like, you know what? I know myself and I always want to say yes, but down the line, it might be a no. So yeah. I want to have this conversation with you because right now I feel like this is really aligned for me, but I also want you to know that like it may not be in the future. Mm-hmm. And we need to periodically have those conversations with people. I also think that, you know, in general, you know, I like rules. I break some, I make some, like I'm not allowed to watch TV series because I get too addicted. So I only watch, you know, movies, but sometimes it's just making a little, you know, commitment to yourself that, you know what, I'm going to, you know, sit on it. So depending, you know, we could go down human design, like how we make aligned decisions is that, you know, you said you were a generator and, you know, how generators make a decision. It's like this yes, no. And if it's a yes, sometimes it's a no further down the line. And that's a lot of different people. That's your sacral center that's talking. And that's a lot of people have that authority. And so when you're aligned and being able to communicate that to other people, I think can be profound. And you know what? Try with the little stuff first.
Yeah.
Try with the little stuff, like getting together with your girlfriends, having a conversation.
That felt like the safest place for me to start having that conversation because they love me, right? Like if we're in this friendship together, they love me. And that was also a really good moment for me to realize how much they cared for me and respected me, that nobody's feelings was hurt. No one felt like, oh, well, if you don't come, then, you know, it's because you don't love us. If you loved us, you would make the effort. And it's like, no, this is why we're in this burnout constantly to begin with, is because again, that expectation that we put on ourselves and that others put on us as well. Right. So that was a really safe way for me to start having that conversation, because we really do have this programming inside of us that we've committed, we have to stick to it. Well, we're allowed to change our minds in everything, even in the work that we do. Yeah. How often do you see that? Like when you're talking with women and you're men too, but men just seem to have an easier time to just be like, no, thanks. Yeah. Right. And then they just like go off and do their thing. I know my husband's great at that.
Yep.
What do you say to these women? Like, I'm just trying to think of how we can get these women to start to pay attention to their own needs and start to do the things that they want to do, even if it doesn't meet someone's expectation or an expectation they set on themselves to begin with. Like, where do we begin?
Yeah. Wow. That's a big question.
I know. Like, I know. Like, where do we friggin' begin? Because I think like in the podcast, I always love to give actionable steps. Like but what is even that first step? Is it knowing ourselves? Is it our personality types? Like, we have to evaluate ourselves, carry a notebook for a week.
Yeah, maybe. So, you know, and you say carry a notebook for a week, but you know, what I have is like this daily energy evaluation tool. Mm-hmm. And it's actually just it's taking, you know, every day, whether it's a week, 2 weeks, and pay attention to, because I think sometimes we're not paying attention. It's like, I feel really tired at the end of the day, but what did I do all day?
Mm.
You know, and it's not a question of like, did you get anything done? Were you productive? But what did you do all day that is making you exhausted at the end of the day? Are you doing too much? Are you doing too much of the wrong things?
Mm.
You know, maybe clients aren't aligning. Maybe your job isn't aligning. You know, maybe your kids aren't aligning. You know, maybe that's a conversation, you know, boundary conversations I've had with many of my children. Well, I have three of them, but all of them I've had conversations, and it's very difficult to have boundaries with, for me, a lot of people. And so I just finally, I don't know, last 3 or 4 years, realized that I really don't have a lot of boundaries, and that's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And when I'm able to write down things that aren't quite aligned and I'm exhausted at the end of the day, or maybe I'm exhausted by noontime, what did you do that, you know, you can become aware of? And you may not be, what I've talked about a lot is that, you know, if you are in a job or you're in a business that you can't make a shift right away, I think just becoming aware of it and building in something in between. So if you have a job that is very demanding, how can you build in like actually taking your lunch? Don't sit at your desk. Yes, you may fall a little bit behind, but if you bring back your energy during that lunchtime, you might be able to get more done and you won't feel so exhausted. So I think that we believe things that aren't necessarily true. Like, I'm going to work through lunch. I talked with a big company, and a lot of them, you know, work in teams. And so they don't want to let other people down. And it's like, geez, what happens if you all just took lunch? Like, just take lunch, you know, take your 15-minute break, whatever it is. I think most of them were on salary anyway, but it's really looking at what's depleting your energy. What do you have control over? Mm-hmm. And the things that you do have control over, then how can you shift them to the things that really bring your energy forward? And if you're like, I don't even know what brings my energy forward, because I'm on this like hamster wheel, or I just keep doing the same thing and, you know, it's worked before, but I don't know what to try next. Those are things that, you know what, you could take 15 minutes and brainstorm some things that you might want to do and try them out. It doesn't have to be a whole day that you have to commit to, you know, trying things out for your energy. You just do it periodically. You have that list. I like lists, you know, wherever it is, and then try it out, because you'd be amazed at some of the things that actually bring you energy. And you're like, oh, I don't think I would have actually done this if I didn't try it. And now it feels really good.
I love that. And, you know, I just like visualize like just breaking these patterns that we put ourselves in, and that like, it's like, we think we're getting a gold star for constantly working through lunch. Like, our body needs fuel. Our body needs food. We can't survive without food, but somehow we're like, gold star. I skipped lunch today. Right. And I worked through it. Look at me, how successful I am. But I think that's just what it is. Like, even yesterday, like, I'm no longer in a 9-to-5 job, and it's been a decade. And I still find myself getting caught up in those 9-to-5 patterns, as though like I needed to write something yesterday for work and I had to get it done that day. It didn't matter when it got done. As long as it got done by like 7 p.m., it didn't matter when. And when I sat down to write it, all I kept thinking about was like, God, I could really use a walk right now. I could really use a walk. And I kept pushing myself through it. And then I was like, no, step away from your desk, go for the walk. And I went for the walk and it was wonderful. And I listened to something that I've been dying to listen to. And I came back and the words flowed and it was done. But we so often, I think so often, we're getting the messages as to what we need, what our bodies need, what we need mentally and emotionally, but we ignore it. We ignore it, you know, like I like the list too, but I guarantee we're already getting those signals all day. We're just not listening to it because it doesn't fall into that like straight line pattern. This is how we're supposed to run our day. It's 9 a.m. This is what we do from 9 to 5. And then at 5, you can do all those other things. Well, you're depleted. You don't want to get on your yoga mat. You don't want to go for a walk. You don't want to make dinner. You don't want to talk to your girlfriends. Like, you don't want to do those things because now you're depleted. Had you been like, it's 1 o'clock, this would be a really wonderful time to like throw out my yoga mat, do a few stretches, even though it's like quote unquote work times, you are giving yourself something that if you thought it, it's because you probably need it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, so much of that, mm-hmm. right? Because you said gold star, and I think I've lived for gold stars most of my life until I realized literally last fall, I was like, wow, I really need a lot of external validation. And when I think of that, I think of gold stars. And I'm like, how did that happen? Like, how did that happen? And how did I not really, like, I've joked around about getting my gold stars and I didn't like dig deeper. And then I had a friend like give me half of a gold star and we all laughed about it a couple of years ago. And those things stick with me. And I'm like, wait a minute. Wow. So much of our lives we have spent looking for external validation.
And that is draining energetically.
Yeah.
Like what did it feel like for you when you didn't receive it, but you were expecting it?
Oh, well, I was disappointed. I must be not good enough. I must try harder, you know, that kind of pattern of thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're lying in bed or you're sitting there feeling like you have no will to do the things you want to do, all because someone externally didn't say something to you that you expected that you were going to get. And how often do we do that, right? So often I think about it so much, especially nowadays. Like, I feel really, really blessed that I didn't grow up with social media, because like I already have that desire for that like external validation, but it's not as, I know it's not as strong had I grown up with social media. And we didn't have that then. Like, you took a picture, it was either a Polaroid or with your camera. You didn't get it, your film developed for a week, and then you show your friends. And it was like, by then you're so over that thing that you did that you don't even care. So we're really lucky. I feel really lucky that I didn't grow up in that, but I'm in it now. And it's so easy to fall down that trap of, I'm sharing this, I'm creating this, I'm doing this for my business, I'm putting it out there. And if I don't get that response that my brain says I should get, or that people are saying you should get, right, for your algorithm, it's like crushing. And it's something digital even. And it, like, something digital can be so crushing, like getting a certain amount of likes, getting a certain amount of shares. And yeah, it's so wild, right? These expectations that we put on ourselves to get that external validation even. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm, you know, like I said, it was 8 months ago, whenever October, November was, when I really saw it, like it was just this big mirror that was right here. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I need to dig deeper here.
Were you a high achiever even growing up?
Yeah.
So it's something you've taken with you your whole life.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you do now with your children? Because you have three children, to prevent them, to keep them being their authentic self, but to watch where their energy is going to.
Yeah. So I think, I don't want to say failed, because I feel like that's like an end all be all, but I see a lot of myself and my daughter, who's 17. There's a lot of like, I didn't get a good enough grade. I'm not good enough. I need to do more. And having those conversations with her. And I think about how she grew up and I'm like, wow, like a lot of what she saw was mom hustling, always working, you know, up until she was probably like 12 or so. And then things shifted, but you know, I'm still struggling with, she literally is a full length mirror walking around and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I do think that a lot of it is imprinted in our DNA from generations past. And, yes. And I'm just like, wow, now to just have the conversations, right? Hey, you know what? That's how mom felt. That's how mom feels sometimes, you know, having those open conversations with her, especially because she just reminds me so much of myself. My older son, he's a manifesting generator and he's going to be 19 and he just is off the rails. Like, he's going to be an entrepreneur once he figures it out.
Yeah.
Once he goes through the different things that he needs to go through to figure out like where his absolute passion is.
Yeah.
And I look at him and I'm like, how could two children be, they grew up the same and they're so very different.
Yeah.
And it's been a life journey. My little guy is 7.
Oh.
And yeah, he's a good time.
Such a nice age.
He told his teachers that mom's annoying. So with him, you know, it's really about the encouragement and not so much about the achievements. Although yeah. that's really good, I also want to encourage, because with my older son, he, you know, it was just pushing, pushing. You got to just get it done. You just got to do it. You got to, you know, and it was very black and white, where for my little guy, there's a lot more there, because I've learned yeah. that, you know, encouragement and really just saying like, yeah, you did a great job. Oh, you know, that was good effort. Really trying to emphasize the effort versus, you know, on his, you know, unit test. And it's like, that's great, you know, and then just going like, you've done a lot of good effort with your homework. And so just trying to use different words.
Yeah. And you have to shift too, because I'm sure like you have 3 children with 3 different personalities, right? Yeah. So the way you speak to your daughter will be different. The way you speak to your oldest son and the way you speak to your oldest son will be different from the youngest. But I do find too, just going back to you and your daughter, I really find girls and women more mirror are the people that we're spending the time with. We really do take that in more. So like, it makes sense that you are such a mirror for your daughter. So now you just, that's why it's so important for us to do our own work.
Exactly.
Because young girls are watching us all the time. They're watching what we're doing. They're watching what we're posting. They're watching and listening to what we're saying. So it's so important. And it's not that boys and men don't do that, but I do find more so with young girls. They're just like sponges wanting to see, like, what is that older woman doing? Right. And it starts right away. Like, you're 5 years old and you're looking at what the 10-year-old is doing and you want to be her. And then you're 10 and you want to see what that 16-year-old young girl is doing. And you're also modeling their behavior as well. So that's why it is always so important to work on ourselves and to show young girls that here's another way. So I don't think you failed at all. I think you did something really amazing. You showed your daughter that it was okay to change your behavior when it's no longer working for you. So then she gets to figure that out if she's doing something and it turns out not to support her mentally, emotionally, or physically. She's like, oh, well, mom did that once and she just changed, right? Like, yeah. So yeah. That's a behavior that we need to model as well, is being able to change.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and she's grown so much over the last year to 2 years. COVID was a tough year for her, and you know, she's really grown into, you know, just a real advocate for herself. Yeah. And I don't remember being that type of advocate for myself. And so it's really nice to see her sort of grow into that.
Yeah. But I look at you now and you're such an advocate for yourself now that now your 17-year-old daughter knows what being an advocate for herself looks like. And I think that's so important. We need to be expanders for the women in our lives, but we need to be expanders for the young girls in our life too. It's hard for kids today. And I find too, like, kids have such high expectations put on them that children are so resilient. And it's like, yeah, but children have limits, by the way. When they're resilient to a point, when they no longer feel safe, like, that resiliency no longer serves them. So we do have to really watch these expectations that we're putting on these young children, because they're who we are expecting to, you know, be the change for the world. And that's a lot of expectations as well. So it really does have to come from all of us, right? Like, we really do. So Because I know a lot of women are going to listen and they're cringing at the thought of taking any time for themselves, even saying no. I can already feel the guilt coming bubbling up in them.
The guilt, the shame, the judgment, all of those things. Yeah. Play a huge role.
Yeah. Or even just like you said something about this idea that you've potentially failed. And it's like, it's not a failure. We don't know what we don't know until we know it, especially if it's never been modeled to us before. We didn't see it before. And then you became aware and you're like, yeah, that's not working for me anymore. So I'm going to shift. So that's not failure. That's learning.
Right.
That's growing. Like I just keep using the word lately, like we're human beings. My God, like we treat ourselves like we're robots. Like we're not supposed to have any emotions. Our energy is always supposed to be high. We're always supposed to be happy and joyful and perfect. And like, we're not robots. Right. And that alone, even that idea can deplete our energy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a big one. Mm-hmm. You know, being a high achiever, which, you know, I'm, you know, going to assume a lot of your audiences, if they're running circles with you, I feel like, you know, we all have our own thing, but we all, especially if we're entrepreneurs, just having that drive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we call it like, you know, balancing out, like sometimes you are going to do more with, you know, your business versus your family, yes. But it has to be in, you know, it has to be communicated with whatever that looks like, mm-hmm. You know, communicated with yourself. What are those boundaries that you're putting in for yourself? And then sometimes it is family. Like I look at my last summer, it was basically focused on my family with very little of, you know, the business stuff, which was nice because I'm also a realtor and that business really just ran on its own last summer. But my, I don't want to say duty, but I was being called to be mom for the mm-hmm. summer. Camps weren't open for my little guy. It just seemed like things were just aligning that this is the time that I'm going to spend with my kids. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was, you know, a pretty amazing summer.
I love that. I love that so much. I think that's so important instead of just like pushing through, because we do live in a hustle culture. But I want to go back to being a high achiever, because I don't want anyone listening to think that that's a bad thing. Hmm. Being a high achiever has served you. So there are two sides to that, right? It's like, here are all the benefits of being a high achiever. Here's when it doesn't support me. So have you found that like you being a high achiever is such a strength? Have you now been able to pay attention when you're in high achiever overdrive that you need to scale it back?
So yes. And I even told my husband, because I told you I'm going through this thing at the moment. I even told my husband, I'm like, I'm afraid to take that step. And I know I can feel it and it's going to be good. Yeah. But I also don't want to go over the cliff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, having a conversation with him about that, just, I don't want to say alleviated, but was like, okay, like, he's like, don't worry, I'll pull you back. Mm. And it's like, oh, thank you. And yes. It really is. I call it the, you know, the rest run, that there were times in our lives that, you know, especially being a high achiever, that, you know, we want to, like you said, you took a walk and then you got that done, you know, that writing done.
Yep.
And sometimes there are just longer things that you need to get done for your business or even your life. Sometimes it's just, you know, it's a sprint.
Yeah.
But when we sprint, we can't continue to sprint without mm-hmm. the resting.
Yeah.
And the resting doesn't necessarily mean sleeping for days, but really being hyper aware of those cycles mm-hmm. that has been in my awareness recently, that I'm like, oh, okay,
yeah,
I got this. I still haven't taken that next step.
But you're aware of it now. And I thought that was so important to note there, because I think we put things in a negative category and we never talk about, well, there are things in there that have massive strengths and that serve you so much. We just have to become aware of when they're not serving us. Like I don't like the hustle culture that says do it at any expense, But I do love that I have it in me to hustle when I need to hustle. I just have to pay attention to when I'm hustling because I think it's going to get me some level of success and I'm not paying attention to my energy, or I'm hustling because in this moment I need to get this done. And then when it's done, then I can set that aside and I can go back to more of a flow. So there are strengths and weaknesses, if you want to give it a word, in all of these things, right? So I'm a protector. I can't help it. It is built into my personality. If I see someone in trouble, instantly I am like solution mode. Boom, boom, boom. If there's ever an apocalypse, I'm the one you want on your team. Perfect, right? That's the strength of that. But the weakness of that is I so often put myself into situations where I don't need to be solving that person's problem. Yeah. Yeah. Or I future trip so much that I see a problem that's not even there, potential problem. So before I used to think I have to get rid of that side of my personality entirely. I just had to pay attention to where it was serving me and where it wasn't.
Wow. Yeah. Brings up a quick story. So yes, I am divorced. Please. I'm on to the second and last husband. But my two older kids are with another dad, and I'm such a problem solver that like one of my kids couldn't make it to decorate the Christmas tree. Without making this a long drawn out story, I end up contacting my ex-husband's mom, who's coordinating like tree decorating, and I coordinate everyone's plans for tree decorating. And she's like, oh, do you want me to text you so you can text, you know, Haley, my daughter? And at that moment, I realized I may have been trying to solve a problem, but it was not my problem to solve. And I said, no, I think I've done enough.
Love that.
To contact her directly. And it was just in that moment that I was like, wow, Jen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that story because I know that there are so many women listening who were like, I literally just did that. Or I do that all the time. Why am I constantly putting myself into these things? And then we're like, what the hell did I just do? What did I just take on that I didn't need to be taking on? So it really does, like through all of this, it just sounds like we have to be so hyper aware of ourselves and where energy is going. So it really is that, like you said, you have this energy evaluation that I wrote down. It really is mentally, or if you love to like actually write it down, how whatever works for you to do that energy evaluation throughout the day. So you can see what you're doing and pay attention to. It's kind of like when you eat something. I know that a lot of like, if people who have like digestive issues, their health coach will tell them, carry a food log around with you. What effect? So when you ate that, how did you feel? So it's the same thing. It's like, when you did that, how did it make you feel? Did it lift your energy or did it deplete your energy? Because I've had days when I've been so busy throughout the day and I am exhausted at the end of the day, but it's blissful exhaustion where it's like, oh, everything I did today was just like so phenomenal. And I said yes to all the right things. And I've had days when it's been the opposite, where you're so exhausted, but you're just like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. So it really is having that. It's like auditing yourself throughout the day, right? That this made me feel really good. Maybe I need to start doing more of that, but also being okay with, or knowing that what worked yesterday may not work today.
Right.
Yeah. I love this so much. I think it's so important because I'm finding right now, Jen, that the only conversation being had right now about energy is online is from the spiritual world, which is right. Like you got to match your energy to this thing that you want. So, but we're not actually taking it deeper. We're sort of bypassing things in our life because I'm just like, I don't know if I want a Ferrari. What's the energy frequency for a Ferrari? What am I trying to match here, right? Like, yep. We're still not paying attention to our actual needs. And that's what this is all about, is paying attention to our needs.
Yeah, I'll just circle back real quick. And you were talking about like weaknesses of being a high achiever. And in this very moment, I just thought, I'm like, I know what it is. I'm afraid of losing myself and my me time if I take that step because I've done it before, right? It's that like, I've done that before. I know what it's like. And that's going to happen again. So that storytelling that we tell ourselves, and that's exhausting, by the way.
That's exhausting on its own.
That's exhausting, really forgetting about yourself. And when we do start to prioritize ourselves, we don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose that again. And
It's so
so
true.
that's where I am right now. I don't want to lose that. And and only a little part of me thinks that, but it's taken up a lot of my mind space. It's taken up a lot of my mind
And
space.
it's enough for you to not make that final decision, right? Absolutely. Because that does happen. And I have found that in myself as well. Like the more you, I don't know, quote unquote, work on yourself,
Right,
I
right.
think it's just getting to know yourself. The more you get to know yourself, the less you want to fall into those old patterns. So when a really great opportunity comes or something comes, even though it sounds amazing in the moment, we do have that like part of us that comes up and it's like, but what if? What if? And I've noticed this in my own life as well, because I noticed this a lot with that like success ladder. And like for me, I've had to just the past couple of years constantly work on redefining what success means to me because I'm so afraid that success is what I used to think it looked like. And if I follow that path, then I'm going to end up burnt out and unhappy and unhealthy and unfulfilled and just miserable again. And I'm so afraid of that. And it's that fear that keeps me from even making those little steps that I know deep down will be so enjoyable
Are
and
you just
so
talking to me
wonderful,
right now?
right? So that's what I think we're all there. I think, like we're so unique, but at the same time, I think so many of us are in this exact same position. We're just afraid to take that next leap because we're afraid of losing something again. Right? We're really afraid of that, losing this thing that we have right now. Like, what if I say yes to that? And like you said, and I lose this time that I've created for myself, this space that I've created for myself. But by you being aware of that, you can put on the brakes when you need to and pivot, right? Like, but it really does come down to what we said at the beginning. We have to be willing to change our minds. And we have to be willing to maybe not see things through if it's not working for us. And it doesn't mean that we're failing or that we need to let the dream go. We might just have to find a different path. Energy is such an interesting topic to me because I find since finding human design, energy isn't everything that we do.
Right.
Like, even I find sometimes. Just making a decision on what to make for dinner is energy depleting. Not all the time. But yeah, it's in everything that we do. Like, I literally, like, how many times have you said, like, oh my God, I don't even have the energy to brush my teeth, right? Like, energy is in everything that we do. Like, our thoughts, our actions, our responses, our behavior, like, our actions, like, we're always. Either using energy or being filled up again energetically. So, where do we begin then doing that evaluation?
Doing that evaluation, and then I'm an all or nothing kind of gal.
Love it.
So it's like, well, if I don't have an hour to do this, then I'm not going to do it. And so if you have that all or nothing, because that's the people that I usually attract,
Yep, same.
is that is take a step back from that. And if you can take 10 minutes, 10 minutes to you can call it meditation, you can call it whatever you want, or just breathe. Take 10 minutes a day for yourself. Take 10 minutes a day, 3 times a week, whatever it is. If you're depending on where you're starting, you have to start somewhere, and it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Like when I went in, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago with Miracle Morning, like I was all in, and then it just didn't work for me anymore. Yeah. And so then I did nothing. Yeah. So now I have found this like happy medium that I don't need to do all those things in the morning. I'm not morning and night are not my thing, but I can sprinkle these things throughout the day. And it does help me with my energy. Also naps help with my energy. But when you don't have that luxury, you're working corporate or you're, you know, non-entrepreneur to have that flexibility, then you have to get creative on the weekends. You know, you have to get creative with, depending on how old your kids are, depending, it really depends on everything. But if you can take 10 minutes and just spend it on yourself and gradually build up to that so that you're spending time with yourself most days for a little longer than the 10 minutes, but it doesn't have to be an all or nothing. You don't have to go and get a 90 minute massage, have time to do a 90 minute massage. Although I love massages. I think I said that already.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're like, yeah, you did.
I love it though. Cause it's amazing for people to just be like, yeah, if I love massages, I'm going to add that into my schedule more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love pedicures cause they rub my feet, but you know, just find that time to figure it out if you haven't already. And if you have, and you've kind of, you know, slacked off on yourself, you know, it happens to me too. It's like, okay, just go back, you know, 10 minutes, breathe for 5 minutes, breathe for a minute.
And it I just love that.
Everything.
I think that's so important as someone who also falls into that all or nothing and really focusing on, well, what can I do right now? And like, that's the way that I get out of that mindset is I just ask myself, what can I do right now? And that really helps me because I just think before I start something, I have to have the perfect journal, the perfect pen, the perfect thing. And then I can finally go all in. And all the time, my husband has to go away for the weekend. Like it's ridiculous. It's so crazy. And I know it is in the moment. So it's like, what can I do right now? Like when I worked in the general contracting industry, I couldn't leave work. I couldn't go. So I used to take the service elevator up to the roof and I would hide for 10 minutes. I would hide for 10 minutes and I would like write in my journal or say some like affirmations that were usually filled with curse words to like get stuff out that I don't want to say to the trades. And like, and then I would ride the service elevator back down. And there was something really enjoyable in that, that like no one knew where I was. And so it was like kind of sneaky, like, or go sit on a park bench for a few minutes, right? Like you really do have to get creative in those moments. Like my husband and I are working with each other right now. So my thing is like, sometimes I'll go like hide in our bathroom or I'll go for a walk. Or it's like when you just sometimes do need to think like, how can I get creative about this? Even though the person teaching this is saying, this is how I do it. Well, their life might be different than yours. So that's what works for them. So it's like, take that little piece and work it into your own life. And that is lifts up your energy. So, okay. I want to talk to you forever because I have, I mean, when we first talked, we spoke about so many things, but I know you have to go. So what I want to know from you is where do you like to spend your time that people can come and connect with you and your book and your business? And right now you're hosting so many things that are just like super amazing. So where can people find you that you like to spend your time and energy?
All right. So I do have a Facebook group right now. It's been around since 2019 and we hang out there. The conversation is starting to now shift to human design. So if you're looking to, you know, talk energy and some human design, we're going to start having conversations there. And if you look it up on Facebook, it's Connect and Elevate. I don't have like the actual URL, but I'm sure you'll
put it in the show notes. That's okay. I will do it and put it in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's where we are. You know, it's a great community. People love chiming in and sharing. And I do polls and things like that. I'm an introvert. So sometimes I do lives and sometimes I don't. I went through a week of doing lives and then I was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
I love that. And you'll get back to it if you decide that you feel like doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And again, a good reminder that that's okay, by the way. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you might as well be showing up in good energy when you feel good about it. You will be that much more attractive to the people that are watching it if you go and you're like, I really don't want to do this. This fucking sucks. And then you push record. You're like, hi, everyone. I'm sorry. We feel that. Yeah.
So yes, I mean, and it's funny because sometimes I think there's been one time that I've gone on and I'm like, I really don't want to be on, but my book got launched and I should really be here. And I was just really authentic that like going live sometimes it's poo-poo-y and yeah. You know, sometimes you just do it, but, yeah. And people cracked up laughing. Most of the people that know me are just like dying laughing that like I would actually do that.
Oh, well, I so appreciate this time and this conversation about energy and just really helping us to remind ourselves that it's okay to take time for ourselves and to pay attention to where our energy is going out and how we're bringing some things back in as well. I think this is really important right now, especially for those of us who are just feeling like all the feels and all the burnout and where we just need to be like, okay, something's got to give. We need to do things differently because it's not working anymore for me. Yeah. So thank you so much. I will put everything, all the links on how to find you and to connect with you and your community in the show notes. So everyone can connect with you and I will be there too. And I can't wait. And now my energy wants to go into these groups. I've been feeling that lately, like going into these groups and engaging more and being fully in there. So I can't wait to be a part of that community. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a great conversation.
Always, always. Last time we spoke, we just like riffed and we should have just pushed record on that conversation too. All right. Bye, everyone.